Well, good morning. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet this morning, I'm Pastor Doug, and I'm glad that you're here. I want to say again, happy Mother's Day to all the moms who are here today. And you have been an incredible blessing to those who are a part of your life, and so we thank you for that. Part of our passion here at Northridge is to get to know you, to build relationships. And one of the ways that we communicate that is by saying, we want to connect in community with Jesus and each other. And the best way to do that, or to start that process, is to fill out the connection card that's in your worship program that you've been given this morning. If you've never done that, today you can do that. Just fill it out with as much information as you're willing to give us. Bring it back to the information and resource table. We have a small gift for you. And then we'll make a connection with you in the next couple of weeks just to see how your experience was here at Northridge and to see if you have any questions about who we are or what we do. I really hope that in the process of being here today, you have the opportunity to experience the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. You know, one of the promises in His Word is that whenever two or more are gathered, He is there. It just blows my mind that God promises to never leave us or forsake us, but that when we gather together to worship Him, He promises to be here and to bless us in ways that we don't even understand. So I hope that you experience that today. God speaks to me and teaches me in different ways. I'm an experiential kind of a person. And so I think a lot of times God will use moments in my life to teach me things that I need to know and I need to apply in my life. And a while ago, I decided to go and spend some quality time with God. So I went to a park and I was sitting at a picnic table and maybe just walking around in the park. It was early in the morning and I couldn't help but notice there was a young boy playing in the sandbox. And I looked around in the whole park, and I didn't see any moms. And I thought, wow, that's really strange. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. It's a nice summer morning. But it's just really odd that a little boy is playing alone in the sandbox. And so I just went back to praying and talking to God and just kind of keeping an eye on that little boy. And all of a sudden, I seen him jump out of the sandbox and run over to the drinking fountain. And he pressed the button on the drinking fountain, but he was so small, he was such a little boy, he couldn't get up there to get a drink. But just as I got up to go and help him, he took off. And then he stopped. And he started looking around in the park. And I thought, I wonder what he's looking for. Is he looking for his mom? Maybe he's confused. I don't know. But then all of a sudden, he spotted something in the park. And he made a beeline for it. And as I watched, I noticed that he was running for a McDonald's cup that had been laying on the ground. And as a good dad, I thought to myself, oh no, right? Don't do that. And he ran to the drinking fountain, and he put the cup there, and he filled up the cup. And I thought, you know what, I better, as a good, responsible dad, I better get up and go and tell him that he probably shouldn't drink out of that cup. I'll help him get a drink. But just when I got up, he grabbed the cup and he left and went back to the sandbox. And he took that cup of water and he poured it out into the sandbox so that he could continue to build his sandcastle. What is God calling you to do? What is God calling you to be? Today we're in the last week of our message series called Traitors. And we've been talking about what it means to be a Christian. Once we've expressed our faith and trust in who Jesus is for our life, what does it mean? What does God expect from us as Christians? And we've been challenging ourselves from God's Word to kind of trade in our idea of what it means to be a follower, a disciple of Jesus, for God's desires, God's expectations for what it means to be a follower. You see, being a traitor is about participating in a movement that requires us to live out our faith, not just talk about it. That morning, God used a little boy to teach me a lesson about what it's like to build His kingdom. You see, we are all called by God to be filled with the Spirit, to go to that eternal fountain and be filled with God, and then to take that and to pour it out to help build His kingdom. You know, I don't know about you, but I recognize that I'm sinful. And I always say it this way, I leak, right? Because every time I go and get myself filled with the Spirit of God, it just seems like that's a great experience, but it never lasts. That's because I'm sinful and I leak. And God wants me to continually come to the fountain. Isn't it great that God gives free refills? That His grace is never ending? That His love is never ending? That we can go to Him all the time, anytime, anywhere, and be filled by Him? Maybe, just maybe, being filled with the Spirit isn't just all about us. Maybe God wants us to come and be filled with His Spirit so that we can pour ourselves out into our communities, into other people, to be a blessing. Paul puts it this way in Philippians 2:17. He says, I will rejoice even if I lose my life, pouring it out like a liquid offering to God. Just like your faithful service is an offering to God. I want all of you to share in that joy. And I can honestly say that to you today. I want you to experience the joy that comes from knowing Jesus. And just maybe that experience of joy comes when we're filled with the Spirit and we pour ourselves out as an offering to God in different ways. Are you willing? Are you willing to pour yourself out like an offering to God? You know, sometimes we get caught up in thinking that we can't. I can't do it. It's too big of a process for me. I'm not good enough to do the things that God wants me to do. I've messed up my life too much to be able to do that. Or maybe we think, I'm afraid. I don't know if I can do it. Or maybe if we're just honest with ourselves, we just don't feel like doing it. Or sometimes maybe we think, I'm not qualified enough to do what God really wants me to do. Have you ever felt that way? Let me ask you a question this morning. What if God does want to use you? And not only that, but what if God wants to use you to do the things that I can't do? Or what if God has a specific task that He's designed you to do and to be to help build the body of Christ? To build His kingdom. What if we're willing to take the chance to make that happen? How would it impact our lives? How would it impact our communities? How would it impact our families? How would it impact our world? If we were willing to just take a risk. See, God used that little boy to teach me about the kingdom of God. And God used a little boy to teach the disciples about the kingdom of God. In Mark chapter 6, Jesus did an amazing miracle where He feeds the 5,000. Listen to this story. Starting at verse 30. The apostles returned to Jesus from their ministry tour and told Him all that they had done and taught. And then Jesus said, "Let's go off by ourselves to a quiet place and rest a while." He said this because there were so many people coming and going that Jesus and His apostles didn't even have time to eat. So they left the boat. They left by boat for a quiet place where they could be alone. But many people recognized them and saw them leaving, and people from many towns ran ahead along the shore and got there ahead of them. And Jesus saw the huge crowd as He stepped out from the boat. and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. Late in the afternoon, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to nearby farms and villages and buy something to eat." But Jesus said, "You feed them." "With what?" they asked. "We've had to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. How much bread do you have?" he asked. "Go and find out." And they came back and reported, "We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Then Jesus told the disciples to have the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of 50 or 100. And Jesus took the 5 loaves and 2 fish and looked up toward heaven and blessed them. Then, breaking the loaves into pieces, he kept giving the bread to the disciples so they could distribute it to the people. He also divided the fish for everyone to share. They all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. A total of 5,000 men and their families were fed from those loaves. I don't know about you, but I can really relate with the disciples. You know, there's days when you get home from work and you're tired. Have you ever had that where you're sitting at home relaxing after a long day at work and somebody stops by, right? And they just won't leave, right? We've all been there. You're tired. You're exhausted. You really don't want to talk. You really don't want to feed them. You don't want to interact with them at all. You just want to be left alone. And yet, they won't leave. Jesus takes his disciples in a boat to get away and rest. But people follow them. And there's a huge crowd waiting for them when they land on the shore. The Bible says that there's 5,000 men, which means with women and children, it could have been potentially 10, 15,000, maybe 20,000 people all in this place where they wanted to go to be alone. It's a big crowd, even though Jesus and his disciples wanted to get away. The disciples couldn't wait for Jesus to send them away. But Jesus trades in the opportunity to rest and relax for an opportunity to help meet the needs of the people. Jesus uses it as an opportunity to teach the disciples that people are important. And being a disciple is about being someone who is willing to pour out themselves, to sacrifice themselves, to help meet the needs of other people. Let me share with you 3 ways that I think God is teaching us to be traders from this story. Here's the first one. Being a trader in the kingdom of God is about responding to the needs of others. So if you read the beginning of Mark chapter 6, you'll see that earlier Jesus sent his disciples out on a mission trip. He said, "Don't take anything with you. Depend on me, rely on me, trust in me. I want you to go out and heal people and cast out demons." And so the very first verse of this story, when we come to it, it's the disciples coming back to Jesus and just sharing with him about the mission trip that they were on. And if you look at the other Gospels, you'll see that the disciples were amazed that they were used to do incredible things like cast out demons and heal the sick. And they were all excited about what God used them to do. And so now they're tired. They've been out on an incredible mission trip, and Jesus recognizes that they need some rest. They need some time away, which is important, right? We understand that. Jesus recognizes that they're totally exhausted. So he takes them out on a boat, and they head towards a place that's going to be secluded, where nobody is going to be. But the Bible in the story, I don't know if you recognize this, but it says that, "But the people recognized them. And they followed them. And actually beat them to the place where they were going." Let me ask you this question. What do people recognize you for? Now think about it. People recognized Jesus and his disciples. They recognized them as people who could help them, people who could heal them, people who cared about them. How do people recognize us? Do they see that in us? Are people willing to or moved to follow us or come to us because we are people who care? The people recognized Jesus and his disciples. Are we approachable? But as we see them get off of the boat and as we hear the story, we see two totally different responses, don't we? At first, you don't see anything about the disciples, but later on, they're like, okay, Jesus, enough is enough, right? It's getting dark, and now I'm really, really tired and really, really hungry. It's time. Just send them away. Let them go home and find something to eat. But Jesus has a different perspective. He recognizes their need, and so he has compassion for them. In verse 34, it says, Jesus saw the huge crowd, and when he stepped out of the boat, he had compassion on them. You see, compassion is not only recognizing the need, but responding to it. There's a difference. You see, we can't say that we're compassionate people if we see the need, but we're not willing to help. Compassion means that we are willing to respond. The disciples only saw the problem, not the potential. And they recommend that Jesus sends them away. Isn't that kind of how I react on a regular basis? You know, I see the needs all over the place. And my first reaction is to say, Jesus, you take care of it. Jesus, I don't know that person, I don't know that situation, but you do, so you take care of it. But Jesus doesn't react that way, does he? He doesn't say, okay, I'll take care of it. No, just the opposite. He looks at the disciples and he says, you feed them. Jesus showed the disciples that they're called to be disciples by meeting the needs, by responding to the needs of other people. Because being disciples in the kingdom of God is about being compassionate enough to respond to the needs of others. Secondly, being a traitor in the kingdom of God is about realizing that you have what it takes. See, a lot of times we just say, you know what, I'm just not qualified. I can't do that. I just don't think I can do what you're asking me to do. The disciples tell Jesus that the best thing to do is just send them away. They're probably overwhelmed by the potential task at hand. They're overwhelmed by the lack of resources. So are those two things that we often say to Jesus? We see the need, but I'm overwhelmed because I've got so much stuff going on in my life already. I don't know if I have the time or the talents to help. Or we'll say, you know what, I really don't have the resources right now to help. I don't have anything to give physically, emotionally, or spiritually. But Jesus says, you feed them. And they respond by saying, with what? Verse 37 and 38. We would have to work for months to earn enough money to buy food for all these people. But Jesus says this, what do you have? Did you notice that? Jesus says, what do you have? Jesus is asking them to do the impossible, to feed a baseball stadium filled with people with nothing. And that's what they focused on. They focused on what they didn't have, what they couldn't do, instead of realizing that they do have something. So Jesus challenges the disciples to look for what they do have to offer. And even then, it doesn't seem like much. What about you? You do have something to give. God has created you with something to give, the gifts and the talents. And Jesus approaches you today and he says, what do you have? go and find out and bring it to me. See, you have gifts and abilities that can be used to build God's kingdom. At Northridge, we really want to help you find out where that is. And so we've developed a resource that's called ID. It helps you identify your spiritual shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences are all things that play into how God wired you to do ministry. And so we want to help you figure that out. And when you find that out and you plug yourself into a place where you are designed to serve, it brings you joy. It brings you excitement. It doesn't drain you. See, a lot of times we've done ministry and we've done things where we've come home just exhausted and we've said to ourselves, you know, why does it feel so bad to do that? I'm helping people out and yet I feel drained and exhausted. Well, maybe you're not using or working in the area where you're gifted. And so we want to help you to do that. So stop at the resource and information table. Pick one up. Otherwise, it's on our website. Work through it a little bit. And then contact us, and we'll help you figure it out. We'll help you find a place for ministry and mission opportunity. See, realizing your shape and your design for ministry is still only the first step. You still have to get involved, right? You have to be willing to use it. The best part of this story, we don't even see in the Gospel of Mark. We see it in the Gospel of John. John chapter 6, verse 9 says that a young boy surrendered his 5 loaves and 2 fish to use. Now, I want you to think about this. Okay, 5,000 men, potentially 10,000, 15, maybe even 20,000 people. Nobody else had food? Really? At 20,000 people, nobody else came prepared with food? Maybe, just maybe, this young boy was the only one who was willing to sacrifice his lunch. Maybe other people were thinking to themselves, yeah, I've got food, but you know what? It's going to be a long trip home, and it's going to take a long time. We need to save this for ourselves. But a young boy didn't. A young boy was willing to bring it forward and to give it to Jesus. And he used that to feed thousands. God wants to use you that way. He wants to take the little bit that you do have and multiply it to have a huge impact in the life of other people. He wants to use the little bit that we do have and multiply it into a great big impact in his kingdom. But first and foremost, we need to be willing, just like that little boy, to be unselfish enough to take what we do have and bring it to Jesus. Because being a traitor in God's kingdom is about using the gifts and the abilities that he has given us. Here's the third one. Being a traitor in the kingdom of God is about relying on Jesus to multiply it. See, I love what the Bible says here. Jesus broke the bread and kept on giving it to the disciples to distribute. I would love to be there. How about you? I just want to see how that happened. That had to be incredible. But Jesus just continues to hand out the bread. See, what does that teach us? Jesus is the bread of life. He has an endless supply of power that he is willing to distribute to you so that you can distribute his bread of life to the world. Think about it. The disciples were hungry too, remember? They needed Jesus just as much as the crowd. And Jesus showed them compassion as well. Verses 42 and 43, it says, they all ate as much as they wanted, and afterwards the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftover bread and fish. I love that. Do you see God's sense of humor there? Because do you know how many disciples there are? There's 12. And they each had their own little doggy bag to take home with them. a big old basket full of bread and fish. Just a simple reminder of what God can do when you're willing to be a distributor. God wants to do that in your life. He wants to be the power that you rely on Him to be used by Him to have an impact in the lives of other people. The Bible says that they all ate as much as they wanted. The NIV says they all ate and were satisfied. I can imagine the disciples as they're walking away with their basket filled with joy. Because that's what it means to be satisfied. They were satisfied in who Jesus was. It brought them great joy to participate in that miracle. What about us? Wouldn't it be great to participate in a miracle? Wouldn't it be great to just give God the little bit that we have in order to be used in an incredible way? As traders, our goal should not be to satisfy our own needs, but to be distributors, to bring the bread of life to other people. And know that in the process of bringing the bread to other people, that we are able to eat and be satisfied as well. Proverbs 11:25 in the Message says it this way: the one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. You see, the Bible teaches that when we are traders for Jesus, when we help distribute the bread of life, we also receive a blessing. We are nourished. We never leave empty when we're with Jesus. We simply need to rely on Him to provide us with what we need. So, is there something missing in our faith? Is there a hole in our gospel? Is there something missing in our life? Maybe, just maybe, we're missing out on the greatest adventure that God calls us to do and to be as His disciples. Working with Him to be the gospel, to help those in this world who need help. What's God calling you to do? Have you responded to Jesus by saying, I am overwhelmed and under-resourced, I can't do it? Jesus comes to you today with the same question that He asked the disciples. What do you have? Just bring it to Me. Jesus says to all of us today, bring Me what little you have and I will multiply it and use it to feed and have an impact on thousands. So why not change I can't into He can? Are you ready to be a trader? Are you ready to be someone who is willing to trade in their own selfish desires with a desire to help build the kingdom of God? Respond to the needs of others. Realize that you have what it takes and rely on Jesus to multiply it. Let's pray together. Lord, thank You for being a God who has a never-ending fountain of grace and love and power to give. Lord, help us to be like that little boy who is willing to give what little he had so that You could use him and to use what he had to bless others. Lord, we want to be a blessing. And we're honest, Lord, we sometimes just don't know how. We don't know how to do it. We don't know where. So we pray that Your Spirit would guide and direct us and help us so that You can be honored, so that You can be glorified, so that You can be famous. In Jesus' name, amen.